Calgary and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Marina Roy. As United Auto Workers round out week three of their strike against Detroit's big three automakers, UAW President Sean Fain says they're starting to see progress in talks on wages and issues surrounding the shift to electric vehicles. Ford and Stellantis have agreed to restore cost of living wages back to 2007 standards, and he says GM talks continue.
We have had a major breakthrough that has not only dramatically changed negotiations, but it's going to change the future of our union and the future of our industry.
Employers added 336,000 jobs in September, twice as many as projected. The Fed board is trying to cool the labor market to help tame inflation. That means there could be another interest rate hike. In Colorado, an investigation is underway after authorities found more than 100 decomposing bodies improperly stored at a funeral home. The governor has declared a disaster, and the FBI is flying in help from around the country to begin processing the bodies. This is ABC News. The Nobel Peace Prize awarded to a jailed activist in Iran. The Academy honored Narges Mohammadi's tireless efforts fighting for women's rights and freedom in Iran. An American tourist arrested for smashing ancient Roman statues at a museum in Jerusalem, raising concerns about Israel's collections.
Police say the suspect called the nearly 2,000-year-old statues, quote, blasphemous and a violation of the Torah, or Old Testament. In court, the defendant's lawyer says his client may be suffering from Jerusalem syndrome. That's an exceedingly rare psychotic disorder that causes visitors here to the Holy City to believe they're characters from the Bible. The American set to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Researchers confirm ancient footprints found in New Mexico are more than 21,000 years old. They are the oldest sign of humans in the Americas. And scientists say it's evidence that humans were here about 6,000 years earlier than previously believed. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Lake Air 1260 AM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
May be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Matt, Brett here today. How are you today, my friend?
I'm all right. How about you?
Doing well. I got a funny one to start us off with here, but I'll get to that in a second. Coming up here a little bit later on, we are going to be chatting with Derek. He is going to be joining us. They've got this big event coming over here for Indigenous People Day, that there's going to be a big voting registration that's going to be coming on up here. It's with the Native American Community Development Institute. And Derek's going to join us on the 9th, which is Monday. They are going to have a Indigenous Voter Registration Celebration Day. And so in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to chat with Derek about that and how you can participate in that. It's going to be going from noon until 3, so look forward to that. We need to understand something about the modern Republican, all right? They don't care about the truth. They just do not care about the truth. All they want to do is make sure they feed a narrative to the people who are their most loyal fan base. And this is actually part of the problem. The reason why there's absolute chaos right now in the U.S. Capitol with the U.S. House and the Republicans over there is because there are too many of these Republicans in incredibly safe districts which have levitated towards the extreme far right, where basically the representatives who represent those districts do not care at all about making America better. They basically just, you know, do narrative validation and hear the accolades from the extreme far right trolls. And I say this because this permeates into Minnesota, even though, you know, our trolls are stupid idiots. I mean, really, the Republican trolls in this state are dumb as bricks. But it doesn't, I want to make sure you understand one thing about this. As I go through this, there's no clarifying this. There's not going to be any fixing this. The only way you could do that is to get them on a court in under oath, and then they'd, I'm really the victim here. You know, that's what they would do. But let's head on down to, this was in Iowa, wasn't it? Grinnell, Iowa. There has been two narratives, Brett, that have emerged surround a car that got damaged in a parking lot in Iowa, in Grinnell, Iowa, the rear vehicle used by campaign of Vivek Ramaswamy. The campaign blames protester who objected to Ramaswamy's stance on abandoning Ukraine. Well, updated news reports and one from the Grinnell College newspaper staffer say the episode was just an accident in a parking lot. Yet, even though they didn't have any evidence this had to do with a protester, the Republicans have run with it. And the Grinnell police responded to it as well as just a, you know, fender bender. Posting online, idiot troll Minnesota Republican State Representative Mary Franzen shared a third version of the incident. It was Minnesota Democrats. Dun, dun, dun. Did you know that we apparently are doing incursions into Iowa right now?
Was it you or me that did this?
I don't know. Where is Patrick, man? I mean,
maybe it was him.
We figured it out. It was his job to basically go down to Grinnell, Iowa, and while Vivek Ramaswamy was in and doing a speaking event, to do some mild damage to the back bumper of a car. Got him! Got him! Zinger! You know, if you actually think through what their allegations are against us, you realize how stupid they are. But the point of this is not truth. Mary Franson's not about the truth. She's about basically giving the trolls that basically say, Mary, you're so pretty, the validation that they, you know, just throwing red meat to the trolls. That's what she does. Basically, the screenshot here she put out there, Vivek Ramaswamy, an attack on democracy by Minnesota Democrats. This is Mary saying this. The latest gaffe may claim a place among Franson's most eloquent moments, including the time she was heartless in Heartland, Representative Mary Franson comparing feeding food stamp recipients to feeding wild animals. You know, Christian. So Christian. Because that was, I mean, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus's direct teachings was, don't feed those people. You know, it was the complete opposite, wasn't it? Yes, just feed the hungry. That's what it is. So if you don't want to do that, you're really kind of a bad Christian. You know, you just are. And that's not me saying it. It's Jesus. Anywho, the Des Moines Register AP reports that Ramaswamy's campaign blamed protesters for ramming its car in Iowa. The police basically said this is not true. Presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy's campaign vehicle was hit Thursday afternoon, and what the campaign said was an intentional act by protesters, but police say it was nothing more than an accident involving a driver unconnected to the protest. No one was hurt in the incident, which was an unoccupied black Ford Expedition being used by the Ramaswamy campaign, was struck by a Grinnell woman's Honda Civic outside of a coffee house in town. The Ramaswamy campaign blamed the collision on protesters who they said were angry about Ramaswamy's remarks on aid for Ukraine, saying they yelled and swore at the protesting presidential candidate before jumping into a vehicle, ramming the campaign car and speeding off. Ramming meaning minor damage to the bumper. I can say this authoritatively. I had a drunk driver slam into my car. That was ramming speed, okay? This is a minor dent to a bumper. Things clearly escalated, Ramaswamy spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin said. Ramaswamy is used to dealing with protesters and handled it with very calmly, so he was maybe a little more calm about it than the rest of us. Now, once again, this is the Ramaswamy campaign making the first lie. Mary is out there saying it's Minnesota Democrats' second lie. But once again, the only way these people are going to correct themselves is if someone dragged them into a court of law, put them under oath, and they could not get out of it. And all of a sudden they would say, I'm sorry because I'm really the victim. So it's not about the truth. These people lie constantly. How many of them have taken credit for bills they openly voted against? Ta-da! Yes, they constantly lie about stuff. So this is not about, they're not about the truth. And they're not going to apologize. They're not going to admit they're wrong. They're just basically going to sit there because all they're doing is feeding the trolls. That's all they're doing. You're so pretty, Mary! That's not what happened, apparently, calling the Grinnell Police Department's investigations. Instead, the investigation showed that a patron had eaten lunch at Jay's Deli and then backed out of the parking lot into the campaign rental vehicle. A report was taken. The driver was released with a summons for unsafe backing, the release said. The driver stated she was not in the area to protest. She did not know who the vehicle she struck belonged to, and she did not intentionally back into the vehicle, and she did not flee the scene after the accident, according to the release. So everything they have said about this is completely made up. It's a lie. And also then Mary Franson lied because Minnesota Democrats. Following the incident, Ramaswamy noted on post that the platform formerly known as Twitter, the rest of the peaceful protesters shouldn't be lumped in with the two who are responsible for ramming his campaign vehicle. Well, considering those people are made up in your mind and are imaginary people, yeah, the real human being shouldn't be looped in with the imaginary people that you've created in your mind. We can all agree on that. Grinnell Police Department refutes Vivek Ramaswamy's claim that protesters intentionally hit his car in the afternoon of Iowa. Our investigation has revealed no evidence to substantiate that information. Two reporters from the Scarlet and Black and the student news site of Grinnell College got a scoop interviewing the student driver who had backed into the campaign vehicle. Zach Spinder Craig and Eleanor Corbin reported, it was truly just an accident. Students who hit Ramsey Carr speak out in the media frenzy. So once again, not Minnesota protesters, Grinnell College students. Accident. And by the way, can I just say this about my experience in Iowa when I lived down there twice? Their parking lots are wholly substantial. I mean, this stuff happens all the time. I mean, they just, I don't know if it's horse and buggy parking there. They're still trying to figure out.
The whole state is bad parking?
There's a lot of bad parking lots down there. I think it really actually has to do with, you know, some of these places just had dirt parking lots and then they just paved them and they didn't think about, well, we need to put more than 2 inches between these back parked dark cars or they can get out. So here we go. Going to the media report of the Grinnell College student who was arranged, lunatic. Apparently, according to Vivek Ramaswamy, the Grinnell College student accused of crashing her car into the back of Vivek Ramaswamy's presidential campaign vehicle on Thursday afternoon said it was an accident, not the purposeful national crash to national media, notably conservative outlets, reported it to be. Cecilia Meager, 24, the accused student, also said she was not affiliated with a protest group engaged with Ramaswamy and Grinnell, and that she did not leave the scene of the crash. The Republican presidential candidate was in Grinnell to record a KCCI Coffee with the Candidates roundtable discussion with three undecided Poweshiek County Republican voters at Saints Rest Coffee House. God, that's like the most Iowa paragraph I've ever read. In an incident, seriously.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Presidential season. That's where you're going.
Nothing is more arrogant than the people of Iowa saying, we need to make the decision.
Not quite the Pizza Ranch, though.
No, Pizza Ranch would be great, man. If it, Kirk Cousins was there, just in the background, just getting pizza. That would just, there you go. Johnny Chains. Kirky Chains. In an incident that has been covered by major national news outlets, the newspaper exclusively interviewed Meager. She provided a perspective on the October 5th incident that differs slightly from the current media reports. Meager said that the information she could provide was limited to insurance process. It was not an intentional accident whatsoever. The media release from the Grinnell Police Department states that they have not found any evidence to substantiate the current narrative of the incidents being intentional. It was truly just an accident. We are completely unaffiliated with the protesters, said Nick Grolofson, Megan's partner, in response to the media characterization, which he says is inaccurate. Groshen says that it was in the passenger seat of Meager's vehicle at 12:55 p.m., the time of the incident with Ramaswamy's 2023 Ford Expedition. The campaign vehicle had no occupants when it was hit. The AP news article on the incident has been published with the headline, "Protesters Angry About Ukraine and Comments Ram His Empty Car in Iowa," campaign says. The AP story has now been published by the Washington Post, Yahoo News, and the U.S. News and World Report. Once again, don't think AP for any reason is actually intentionally. They are one hell of a compromised news outlet. Basically, they took talking points from a candidate and published it as news. That's all you need to know about the AP. It cites Ramaswamy campaign saying the protester upset about Vivek Ramaswamy's remarks on the aid of Ukraine, yelled and swore at the presidential candidate in Iowa on Thursday before jumping into a vehicle, ramming the campaign and speeding off. Fox News also reported the incident as a hit and run. Meager said that following the crash, we just moved over and waited for the police. We, the campaign, never alleged it was a hit and run, said Tricia McLaughlin, Ramaswamy's spokesperson, when asked to comment for the SMB. McLaughlin also shared a police report, which cites the damage amount about $600, which insurance probably will cover, and then we are done here. Daily Mail political reporter Caitlin Corral appears to have been the first to report on the accident. Two protesters, aged 26, 22, rammed their vehicle into Vivek Ramaswamy's car as he visited Saints Rest Cafe. The tweet reads, at the time of the writing of the article, the tweet had gathered over 344,000 views. So once again, here's the Daily Mail publishing something which is false, that these were protesters as opposed to possibly an accident. Grinnell Police Department corroborated the accidental nature of the incident in a media release, saying it was reported on social media that two protesters had intentionally ran the Ramaswamy vehicle and fled. Our investigation has revealed no evidence to substantiate the information. Meager says she received $210 traffic summons for unsafe backing. The S&B was at Saints Rest while media carrying the initial AP story were spreading the photo of the damaged car and social media were not. This is a developing story. Sure, it's a Democratic thing. Bluestrom is charmed about what seems to be the new feature at the bottom of the Franson Post. Per the Des Moines police, the accident was not intentional. The driver who hit the vehicle did not flee. So basically, they put a clarification on there. As the screenshot reveals, viewers are asked to find out what added context and helpful that there's a bottom to rate it. Franson's loyal critics know what to do. But that's basically this is the whole point of this is this. It's not about the truth. It's not about the truth. This is not about the truth. It's about narrative validation. They want to believe these angry people just stormed over and ripped the car in two. And a decent-hearted Vivek Ramaswamy just said, let them go. The rest of the protesters are fine. Now, first of all, let's call out that crap. You don't make up a story about fake protesters damaging your car and then get the ability to say, I have no problem with the protesters. Clearly you do there, Johnny Sensitive. So, you know, you can shut up now. Second of all, these people will never admit the truth. They won't. You think Mary Franson's about to go out there and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I got the wrong information. Apparently, this had nothing to do with the protest. It was just an accident in a parking lot, and insurance going to cover it, and we're done. No, of course not. If she does, I'll be shocked. We'll have to check Mary's social medias, but she blocked me. Although I do see her on the other sites that I do have. So, I mean, I guess it's just fun. Yeah, you're blocking me if I have to see you. Anywho, I doubt she'll basically admit she's wrong because all this is about is feeding narrative validation. And these people in these safe red districts, even though all these politicians have done for 40 years in these red districts is hurt them more and more and more. The real Pied Piper of the event is the Republicans have managed to summon their frustration and anger, not at the people who've created their problems, but at mythical people that they keep saying, blame them. The last thing I want to say about this is I want to remind people of when people were blocking highways. The Black Lives Matter protesters, people protesting George Floyd, when they were blocking roads. What was the narrative from Republicans? Not all Republicans, mind you, but a lot of them. Ram your car into them, kill as many as you can, then pull over three blocks later and say, I was scared, because we're writing laws that basically say you can murder people with your car and get away with it. I remember that. Who else remembers that? I remember that. I remember Republicans telling people to ram protesters with their car and then just pull a few blocks later, call the cops and say, I was scared, and you'll get away with it. That was their argument, that people should just ram protesters when they see them. Doesn't sound like so much. And here all of a sudden it's a case where not a protest happens and they can't help themselves. They have to find a way to vilify the other side. If you guys keep voting for these idiots, I can't help you. They haven't delivered on any of their promises for 40 years. You've gotten poorer. You got less benefits. The only thing that's saving you in a lot of these red districts is Twin Cities metro area tax dollars, fact, and the fact that the DFL is not a heartless bunch of people and actually passes laws to help the entire state, not just a handful of specific districts. And you're welcome. The DFL has delivered for you. But you guys, if your main concern here is believing these Democrats, they're just out of control versus, well, gosh, Mary Franson hasn't done crap for us and compared poor, hungry people to feeding wild animals. Well, heaven forbid you enlighten yourself, but that's not my job to do that. You have to be somewhat willing. And right now, all you're doing is devouring what you can at the disinformation trough. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Join Twin Cities Quorum as they celebrate their 30th annual National Coming Out Day Luncheon. This inspirational and transformational event gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity at work, in our families, and in our faith and across our lives. The realities of living an authentic life are deeper than just being out. We all have many layers of identity, and we must work together to create a world where people can bring their whole self to everything they do. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon serves as a celebration of who we are individually and together. Reserve your tickets today for Friday, October 13th. This year's National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at the Minneapolis Convention Center in Minneapolis. The Marketplace Expo opens at 10 a.m., and the luncheon will begin at 11:45. Tickets are available to members for $60 or non-members for $75. Learn more and purchase your tickets at TwinCitiesQuorum.com on the events page. That's TwinCities, Q-U-O-R-U-M.com.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family, and Warner Stellion is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 69 years, Warner Stellion Appliance is offering unbeatable savings of up to 40% off, free dishwasher installation, and no interest for 2 years with your Warner's card. Plus, go to WarnerStellion.com for an exclusive $50 coupon. These deals end October 18th, so hurry into one of our 10 Minnesota stores. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
2023 is here, and you can make it the year of the Eagle with the National Eagle Center. You and your family can enjoy exciting eagle experiences, including field trips, private habitat tours, and exclusive behind-the-scenes tours. Meet live eagles up close, view bald eagles and golden eagles in the wild, and receive personal one-on-one education with dedicated and knowledgeable eagle experts as you journey into the world of eagles like never before. Learn more and plan your unforgettable eagle experience today at nationaleaglecenter.org/experiences.
I went to Caitlin Carell. She's with the Daily Mail, and just said she did update her story, saying Grinnell police say there's no evidence the crash was intentional. The student told Grinnell papers it wasn't purposeful, but she is saying the Vivek Ramaswamy campaign told her they have video and confirmed to me the driver flipped off Vivek, yelled profanities, and honked at them before the crash. So that's what they're saying, but that's, you know, that's basically, once again, there you've got the Grinnell police and the protesters who did not leave, or not the protesters, the students. The students who did not leave, who were not protesters, basically there. This is completely and totally made up. This is a completely and totally made up thing. And I'll tell you this, Vivek, go ahead and release this so-called video, because what you probably got is a video of someone else. And if you release that video and you put it up on news, then you're claiming someone crashed their car into you and they didn't, which opens you up for a lawsuit. And you're not about to do that. So needless to say, they're lying. And by the way, once again, we have to make sure we point out the pathetic nature of the AP and the Daily Mail, and a lot of these guys who basically just take talking points from the campaigns and just put, you know, sources say at the end of it, acting like they've done their job. News media today is pathetic. And, you know, part of it is this. I mean, there are a lot of campaigns which will look at the news media and tell them, you have to report news how we tell you to report it, or else you can't be on the campaign trail with us. And so they cower and they hide and they do all that stuff. The reality is that it's pretty embarrassing that this is how it is. And it's embarrassing on a lot of levels. It's embarrassing these people are lying so much. It's embarrassing that they're running with this in the narrative, even though it's not true. And it's embarrassing the fact that these people will never once. This is intentional. That it's just intentional. It's narrative validation. It's not anything to do with facts. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A good chunk of the rest of this hour is going to be spent on school issues, because there's two that have been going on. One, a recurring story I'm going to talk about. The other one, a newer story that I want to truss out here as well. But both of them had the same vibe, which is this. You have people trying to dictate what other people can and cannot learn. And that is not a good thing. We're going to start in, this is Ham Lake. Oh, it's a lake of ham. Who doesn't? Oh, Ham Lake. Oh, delicious. Anyway, as 1 in 5 students at the Twin Cities Charter School were kept home in protest last week as Muslim parents demanded the school drop its use of an LGBTQ-friendly picture book.
Starting Tuesday, September 26th, between 140 and 192 of the approximately 1,000 students at Da Vinci Academy in Ham Lake were marked absent each day last week, assumed due to the issue, said Holly Fisher, the school's executive director, in an email to Sahan Journal. Smaller numbers of students were marked absent for other reasons. Da Vinci Academy uses the books in its kindergarten through fifth grade classes as part of an anti-bias curriculum. Fisher explained at a September 25th school board meeting that the books are intended to help children understand differences in age-appropriate ways and a need that became evident when children returned to school struggling with social skills after pandemic closures. The 120 books curated by the local nonprofit AmazeWorks include stories about immigrants and children with disabilities. 24 have LGBTQ characters. Several times each month, teachers read AmazeWorks books to their classes. Sahan Journal interviewed two Muslim parents with the children at Da Vinci School, both of whom later asked not to be named in the story. They told Sahan Journal that teaching children about LGBTQ issues infringes on their rights as parents and on their religion. One parent, an imam, told Sahan Journal that homosexuality is a major sin in Islam. All right. After a four-day attendance strike, the students returned to class October 2nd. At its next meeting scheduled for October 23rd, the school board plans to discuss setting up a parent committee to review the issue. Fisher's also arranged a meeting with the Minnesota chapter of the Council of American Islamic Relations, which is representing the parents. But parents say their part, they may pull their kids from Da Vinci Academy altogether if the school does not change the curriculum. Da Vinci Academy, a K-8 charter school 20 miles north of Minneapolis, provides instructional focus on arts and sciences. Students' test scores register above the state average, and black and white students have similar scores in math and reading, a rarity for a state known for achievement gaps. There are one or two good charter schools. There are. But every bad charter school hangs their hat on these good ones, and there's where the problem is. 60% of Da Vinci's Academy students are white, but the school's enrollment has increased in recent years, fueled by its reputation among Muslim families who praised its academics and its diversity. Between 2018 and 2019 and 2022 and 2023 school years, enrollment increased by nearly 20%. The majority of the new students were black, and half of them speak a language other than English at home, including Arabic, Oromo, Somali, and Aramaic. With so many Muslim students at Da Vinci Academy, parents say the school should have consulted them before including the new material. If you think about this for 2 seconds, you can see where this is going. In recent years, Republican left efforts to limit discussions on LGBT issues in schools like Florida's Don't Say Gay law have received extensive media attention. In some pockets of the country, Muslim families have pushed back, too. In the past year, Muslim families pushed for an LGBT book ban in Dearborn, Michigan, protested a policy aimed at affirming children's gender identities in Burnsville, and sued for the right to opt their kids out of LGBT picture books in Maryland. Under Minnesota state law. Is everybody listening? Okay. Parents have the right to review the curriculum and make reasonable arrangements for alternative instruction if they find any material objectionable. I want to stop right here. Every one of these parents, if they don't want this book read to their kid or their kid to have access to it, have that right already. So is this about their kids? Or everybody else's kid? There's the problem. At the school board meeting, Fisher said that any parent can opt out of the material and that she had accommodated every such request. Many students already opt out of certain lessons and the school provides alternative opportunities, she said. At the same time, she stressed that the school has children who need the LGBTQ affirming books. So, once again, all these parents who are acting as if these books are being forced on their kids, that's not true. They can opt out of that book. Their kid will get alternative books, alternative classes. This school seems to be doing the best they can to make sure and accommodating every request to make sure no kid has to see this book. So if the individual parents don't have a freaking problem with this, this is a bunch of parents trying to dictate that no kid can look at these books. And that is wrong. all my best to you in your religion. If you, that's what it, you feel it says, that's your religion. But that's not anyone else's religion. And if you have kids in the school who do need to have these representations presented to them, are you going to demand those kids be removed from the classrooms too? You don't want the book read. We already accommodate you. Stop trying to raise other people's kids. End of story. God, I can't stand this. Stop trying to raise other people's kids. Do not tell me or anyone what books their kids can and cannot read. You don't want your kid to read the book? Fine. The school accommodates you. There's a related story. We got to go back to Hamline University. And we're going to talk about, once again, the school, in, at least it, by the appearances, trying to do their best to argue that somehow the students should be able to dictate what is and is not taught at a college-level course. And I can't tell you how frustrated I've been because I keep asking the question and no one wants to answer the question, why the heck didn't the kid read the syllabus? Why? I'll tell you what. We'll take a break, come back. These two stories are connected because, once again, this is people trying to dictate what other people can and cannot do with their kids. And that's not right. End of story. You don't want your kid involved in this? That's fine. That's your right. We have state laws and the school is accommodating you. Stop trying to dictate that for everyone else. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblattFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hey, it's Tom. Fossil fuels continue to have negative impacts on our environment. Luckily, there are more ways now than ever to use renewable energy in your home or business. All Energy Solar offers smart energy solutions like custom solar paneling, electric vehicle chargers, and energy storage. Solar panel systems can last for decades, meaning you can help the environment and cut back on electric bills for years to come. There are incentives and rebates available to most people who install solar energy, too. Last year, the federal solar tax credit increased to a 30% tax credit. This incentive can be used in combination with other incentives from your utility, county, or city. But don't delay or miss out, as many of these incentives are limited to only a certain number of people. So have a professional from All Energy Solar help you discover how solar can power up your property while saving on your energy costs. Call 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for scattered rain showers throughout today with a high near 52. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 51. Get a taste of authentic Szechuan and Mandarin cuisine at the Great Wall Restaurant. From hot and sour soup to Peking duck, they've got all of your favorites covered. Conveniently located just south of 50th and France in Edina, order for takeout or view the full menu at GreatWallEdina.com. That's GreatWallEdina.com.
Brett was preoccupied for a second.
Yeah, that's on
me. And here's, you get the point of what I do here. I can't do anything. So for all the people that saw me on the camera there, we're just hanging out together then at that point, man. So this is why you need to watch the show. In case stuff like this happens, you can see it's like, I guess I'll play Minesweeper, you know? Which I would be doing if not for this show anyway. So
there you go. Yeah. That, my apologies. Yes.
That and making OnlyFans content. I know. All right. So once again, just want to recap why this is so frustrating about what's happening up at the Da Vinci Academy in Ham Lake. It does. Forget about the fact that it's LGBTQ books for a second. There, if a parent does not like any book there, for any reason, and does not want that book exposed to their children, well, good. They can opt out of it. They can, well, I don't say good per se, but okay, fine. How about I say fine? Fine. You can opt out of that book. Your child will have an alternative, you know, activity during that time. You don't have to read it. They won't be exposed to it. They won't be given it. That's the case. Done. So what's the problem? If you're trying at that point, if there are those kind of accommodations for every parent, which is basically, as a parent myself of children, all that any parent needs, then anything else you're doing, any other temper tantrum or fit you're throwing, is about stopping other people from reading a book that you disagree with. And that's not America. It's not supposed to be America. It could be Florida. But that's not America, man. You're right. There are some things in my life that I have said, kids, nope, you can't see that. You can't watch that. You can't read that because they were too young. But that was my choice for my kids. I didn't roam up and down the street and demand every parent on the block give me their copy of the DVD or VHS or the book or whatever the case may be. This is why this is frustrating. This is not about individual choice or keeping your kids safe. The school is doing everything in their power to do that. It's about stopping other kids who clearly, as the school says, need to have these examples in their curriculum for their own needs from having them there. That's not right, man. All right, let's go to Hamline University. Now, once again, I want to reiterate what happened here a year ago. A art historian drew up a course on a fine arts. This is fine arts. And part of the college course was about religious art. And there was a painting of Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad. Now, for many people of the Islamic faith, this is, it's, you know, any depiction of Muhammad is, you know, it's unacceptable and they don't like it. But even CARN, the Council of American Islamic Relations, has said there are exceptions, such as teaching art history, where at certain points there are these historical paintings. We don't just go out and start burning paintings in the parking lot because we don't like them. And that's just not something you do. All right? It's not something you do. And by the way, just a quick little side note, if I can. Yeah, we can tear down the Columbus statue because that's just a statue that was put up recently by white people to praise a white person who was a horrible human being.
You wouldn't put up a Jeffrey Epstein statue right now. You wouldn't do that because he was a horrible human being. Christopher Columbus sold 9- and 10-year-old native girls as sex currency. He shouldn't be shouldn't be acknowledged. I mean, obviously, you teach him in history classes because there is historical provenance there. So you don't wipe it off the planet, but you don't put up a statue for the guy saying he was a swell fella. No, he wasn't. He was a horrible. Even at the time he existed, he was so atrocious that the European courts felt he was a monster. That's all you need to know about how bad he was. There was a time that is different than a time when people painted and praised religious leaders who now the mentality is today that's not okay. But once again, even the Council of American and Islamic Relations have basically said, no, if it's an art history class, you know, that's you know, you've got to expect that. The teacher, Erica Lopez Prater, in the syllabus, very clearly, and once again, the entire teaching schedule was approved by the college. In the syllabus, she very clearly said, we are going to be viewing images, a 14th century image of the Prophet Muhammad. Be prepared. And if you do not want to see this, let us know. We will coordinate and organize to where you do not have to see it. In the syllabus, very clearly, it was in the syllabus. Once again, faculty signs off on it. A student, a Muslim student, takes the class. Apparently did not read the syllabus, which I'm stunned by why you didn't read the syllabus. Needless to say, in the week or so up and before the actual event, what happened was the teacher kept saying, coming up on this day, we are going to be viewing the picture of the Prophet Muhammad. If you do not want to be here for that class, we can make accommodations for you this. For some reason, the student did not heed these warnings. And even at the beginning of this class, once again, I understand this is a very controversial painting. We don't want to upset anyone. If you do not want to see this, we can make accommodations. Nothing. Shows the picture. Oh my God, this teacher's tried to force the picture of Prophet Muhammad on us. Okay. And once again, it's the school grossly overreacted, called it Islamophobic, which it wasn't. And basically fired the teacher. The teacher is basically currently suing the school and actually has merit on one of the case arguments that they were making, which will end up costing the school quite a bit of money. And Hamline's reputation as an academic place is there because, no, you should not have a student. Once again, I mean, I understand that you make accommodations for this. You should not have a student basically dictating to a professor what they can and cannot teach. It's the professor is hired to be the expert in the field, in the class it's there. Say that you're in a health class and they have mouth to mouth and someone feels as if, well, that's not appropriate. That's forced sexual contact. And you're saying, but yeah, it's a health class. We're trying to teach mouth to mouth CPR. Well, you can't teach that because you're just asking people to get upset about this. I mean, it's different because obviously there's a religious overtone here in the case of the Prophet Muhammad, but it's the same kind of vibe, is that the student was warned repeatedly and at no point took the warning seriously or just didn't even read the syllabus. Needless to say, Hamline had their reputation tarnished pretty good. But on September 12th, Hamline University held a forum on academic freedom. The forum was presented in response to the incident that occurred last year involving the teaching of a work of Islamic art containing a 14th century image of the Prophet Muhammad. In a world art history course, the religiously observant Muslim student complained the administration called the lesson undeniably Islamophobic, which it wasn't, and failed to rehire the instructor, Erica Lopez Prater. These actions were widely criticized across the political spectrum and around the world. The American Association of University Professors conducted an investigation and concluded the professor's conduct in the classroom was not only justifiable and appropriate on both scholarly and pedagogical grounds, but it was also protected by the academic freedom. The Hamline administration was wrong to characterize this decision as Islamophobic. After the media firestorm, the president and board chair issued a statement acknowledging that the use of the word Islamophobic was flawed. No, it was just stupid, frankly, if you ask me, but, you know, whatever. Hamlin's administration, the UUAP report stated, had an inaccurate and harmful understanding of the nature of academic freedom in the classroom. The report called out the administration's de facto campaign of vilification against the professor and criticized the failure to extend due process to her. It's been almost 1 year since the classroom incident, and despite the damage to the university's image, there has not been any internal inquiry. Not a single administrator has issued an apology or taken responsibility. Instead, Hamlin's administration, after having a long period to reflect on the media response, the AAUP report, and the statements of outraged faculty, organized Academic Freedom and Cultural Perspectives, Challenges for Higher Ed Today and Tomorrow. Despite its promising title, the event, which included introductions from David Everett, Hamlin's chief diversity officer, Fainis S. Miller, Hamlin's president, and a keynote address from Michael Eric Dyson, was essentially a full-throated defense of the administration's actions against Lopez Prater. Of the four panelists who convened after the keynote, only one, David Schultz, who we've actually had on the show before, was drawn from a Hamlin faculty. Unsurprisingly, he alone seemed to invite any skepticism about the administration's actions, albeit in a rather indirect way. The others, Stacey Hawkins of Rutgers Law School, and the anti-racist activist Tim Wise and Robert DiAngelo, did not discuss the controversy in any substantial way. The event was opened by David Everett, who said last year the act of teaching a work of art in a classroom after having given many content warnings in writing in the classroom was undeniably inconsiderate, disrespectful, and Islamophobic, thereby setting the entire debacle in motion. Everett said those things about a faculty member who was teaching her class in accordance with the standards of her profession and who did nothing wrong, and he said with them without even talking to the professor or even exchanging emails with her. Nor did Everett, in his handling of the student complaint, ever bring Lopez Prater to the student together in a room to discuss the issue, surely a best practice for diversity office. Lopez Prater, Everett said, was no longer a part of the Hamlin community in light of her actions in the teaching art, by the way, teaching art. In the right instructional context, this classroom event could have been a powerful teachable moment, but Hamlin's leadership, which was in the past has advocated the approach of restorative justice, decided to be retributive. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll take a break, come on back, talk more about this. Because once again, this is, you don't like something, that's fine. And I want to be very clear here, whether it's the Hamlin story or this story. We make accommodations for people to make sure that you're not uncomfortable. You don't feel as if your religion is being offended. We make accommodations for you. You are more than welcome to take them up. Is this about you or basically stopping anyone else from ever seeing things that you disagree with? Because it sounds much more like the last one. You're trying to stop other people from seeing things that you disagree with. And talking about slippery slopes, considering the Christian nation that we got in this country today, that is a freaking slippery slope. There are already Christians that say every house should have a Bible in it. You know, think about that for a second. That's not good either in any capacity. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Todd from 30 Bales on Main Street in Hopkins. My co-founder Tom and I developed our restaurant to celebrate everything Midwestern cuisine has to offer. Our upbeat neighborhood gathering place brings together bright personalities, bold recipes, clean ingredients, and craft spirits that play with the unique flavors of the Midwest. The menu at 30 Bales is inspired by seasonal ingredients grown close to home. Find us across the street from the Hopkins Center for the Arts at 1106 Main Street with plenty of free parking. Go to 30bales.com to learn more.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go. Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about the exterior construction company I trust, Snap Construction. If your home was hit with the most recent storms, trust the most well-reviewed exterior construction company, Snap Construction, for a free home inspection.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. There are a lot of great construction companies in town. My advice is to take your time and do your research. Make sure they are locally owned. and that they guarantee their craftsmanship for life. Also, you want to find a company that's been in business for at least 10 years. You want to work with a company that's going to be there long after the work is done. Snap Construction has handled thousands of claims, and we'll help you through the process.
Don't go with the out-of-town, fly-by-night contractor. Most storm damage goes missed by the untrained eye. Trust Snap Construction for your free storm damage evaluation. For your free storm damage evaluation, call Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP or visit them online at snapconstruction.com. That's 612-333-SNAP or snapconstruction.com.
Once again, I want to make sure, because people always have a tendency of half listening to what I'm saying. By all means, no one should be forced into looking at something that they disagree with, especially if they feel religiously that it is offensive. I don't believe something should be forced upon you. And at no point in either of these stories was anything forced on anyone. In the one case, the parents can choose to opt out. It sounds like many parents did. But there, once again, it's not enough. No one in the school can read the book. In this case, why didn't you read the syllabus? Why? Why didn't you read the syllabus? Why did you ignore all the warnings? Because at that point, I feel sorry that you saw the thing because it was offensive to you. But at that point, you almost seem to have gone out of your way to see it and then are trying to use that argument that no one should be able to see that piece of art, even though Karn basically says, no, if it's an art history class, that is a viable reason to show that image. But as exactly as the teacher did, with plenty of warning in advance. President Miller was eager to note that she did not see this event as a defensive move, but rather an offensive one. Miller's insistence that this is not defensive foreshadowed the event as it was, in many ways, highly defensive. Miller's comments at the event clearly directed at the faculty who, she said, continue to teach in ways that are more likely to mirror the educational experience that we endured. When we exercise academic freedom, she said, we must still see who is in our classrooms, and she advised that the faculty must not treat students as cattle to be prodded and moved in the direction of we want. Once again, this teacher gave how many warnings that you did not have to be in this classroom? That's not cattle. The real threat to academic freedom, she concluded, occurs in places like Florida and Texas. It is not, or Hamlin, where it is not threatened in that way in Minnesota. You say, it's not being threatened that way at Hamlin University. Miller fails to see that there are many ways that academic freedom can be threatened. Despite the important differences, there's key similarity between much of what is happening in places like Florida and Texas and what actually happened at Hamlin last year. In both instances, a particular religion or ideological viewpoint is being used in its attempt to deny everyone in the community the opportunity to see certain material. It is clear that Lopez Prater had no intent to upset anyone. She was teaching an important work of Islamic art, which is part of her job. She showed concern for her Muslim students by giving them multiple warnings in writing and orally to avert their eyes when she showed the image if they so wanted. This has nothing. This is nothing like the example some given more by once than by many speakers of the event, the Holocaust denial, flat earth theory, fomenting an insurrection, using the N-word in the classroom. None of those absurdly inappropriate ideas are remotely similar to the challenge that arose with Lopez Prater's art history class and that many use on a regular face, responsibly teaching relevant and suitable academic content that might be disturbing to some students. What happened to Lopez Prater, whose academic freedom was clearly denied, was outrageous and unfair. It also serves as a chilling cautionary tale to us, especially those who teach controversial subjects. 100% agreed. Would you allow, and I tell you what, I can't, once again, I want to be able to say this. If you are truly offended by something, it's not my place to say you're not offended. I am not about forcing something onto someone that they disagree with. But I am 100% about a minority in a community, a minority of the population, dictating for the majority of the population what can and can be acceptable. I don't know if that's right. Hour 2 is up next.
Hi, this is Paul Metzger. honored to tell you I've been broadcasting my Wall of Power Radio Hour show on AM 950 for over 9 years. We have had musicians that have played with Bob Dylan and Prince, local musicians, authors, comedians, CIA agents. My motto is cool people from all walks of life in all 50 states. It airs every Saturday night at 6 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, super idealist.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.